Lift up your hands all over this place and in your homes. On Facebook right now, I see so many of you responding in the comment section. I want every one of you in this place to lift up your hands to heaven. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. As we've entered your gates with thanksgiving, we've come into your courts with praise. We exalt you. We declare that you are good and your mercies endure forever. We know that it is an honor and a privilege to praise and worship you and honor you. Father, may we never lose sight. As we get into your word today, we even right now declare that you've gone before us and you've made level every single path. Thank you that your word never returns unto you void. And so, Father, every lifted hand, as a symbol of surrender, as a symbol of a hungry heart, I prophesy today that they shall be filled in Jesus' name. And if you believe that, I want you right now to give Jesus the biggest shout of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank Him right now. Let it come forth from your mouth. Let their neighbors hear you. Let East London hear you. That there's some radical people who are hungry for Jesus. Radical people that are hungry for a move of God. Hallelujah. If you're hungry for a move of God, I want you to get up out of your seat right now. Begin to run around. Begin to get excited. Because I tell you, there's a new generation of young people, unashamed, bold and tenacious. Get ready for the mightiest move of the Spirit of God in this hour. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. You know, now as you said it earlier, and I believe this for every single person in this place that have come tonight, and those of you watching at home, you're going to the next level. I said you're going to the next level. What you expect, you are empowered to get. And it's been prophetically declared that you are going to the next level. See, I may not know what you face this week. I may not know what the devil has tried to do to your family. I may not know what the devil's tried to do to you. But I'm here to tell you today and declare Jeremiah 29:11 to you. For the Bible says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a glorious future." And if you believe that one more time, I want you to give Jesus the mighty shout of praise that He has got great plans for you. In the comment section on Facebook right now, I want you to declare it right now. I'm going to the next level. I see you there, Judy, going to the next level. I see you, James Broadway, going to the next level. Every single one of you in this place, going to the next level. You're going to the next level. It doesn't matter what you've seen this week, what you may have experienced this week, what the enemy thought he could use to stop you. I tell you this, the Bible declares that all things work together for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. All things work together. Right now in this place and in your homes, I want you to look at someone as you comfortably take your seats and say, "All things work together for my good." All things work together for my good. As you take your seats, I want to draw your attention to a text. As I was spending time with the Lord asked me this question. And He said, "Can these bones, these dry bones, live?" And immediately in my spirit, the Lord directed me to a text found in Ezekiel 37. And I want you to go there. Ezekiel chapter 37. And I'm going to read it to you in the New Living Translation. This is what it says. "The Lord took a hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me around among the old dry bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground. Then He asked me, 'Son of man,'" this is what I believe the Lord is asking you today, all around the nations of the world, "my child, child of God, can these bones become living people again? Can these dry bones live again? Once again, I'm going to say it, and I may not know what it is that you've been through this week, what it is that you've experienced, and what you've been experiencing this year. I'm here to declare to you today that God will never ask you a question without having placed the solution on the inside of you. God would never make a withdrawal from you without having first made a deposit on the inside of you. What does that mean? And I want you to declare this right now. I am empowered by the Spirit of God. And in verse 3, the Bible says, then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? And I replied and I said, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak to these bones. Everybody say, speak. Now the translation says this. Again, I said to him, unto me, and again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Someone say, prophesy. Shout it like you mean it. Say, prophesy. Do you know that you've got resurrection power in your mouth? Because the greater one lives on the inside of you. You know, the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know who's on the inside of you? Those of you watching and those of you in this place today, the greater one lives on the inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. So again, I say to you that God will never make a withdrawal without having first made a deposit on the inside of you. You see, he's deposited greatness on the inside of you. Just like Ezekiel, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and took him to a valley where there was dry bones. Right now, you may be in the most impossible situation, the most impossible circumstance, where all around you is desolation, destruction. Perhaps you're in this place and watching in your homes right now where you're on the brink of bankruptcy. You're writing exams and you feel like you're failing. You're studying and everything is just going difficult and just going difficult. Do you understand that there's power as you prophesy the word of God? What is the word? The Bible says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. So if the word was God and we speak the word, we speak God into our circumstances. And I'm here to tell you today that as the word declares in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, I want you to write the scripture down. Malachi 3 verse 6, the Bible says, I am the Lord your God. I change not. That means his nature, his mind towards you, his disposition towards you has not changed. The way he perceives you, the way that he's created you in his very image and likeness and has given you the mind of Christ has not changed. That means that long before anything came around, long before you faced a challenge, you had the solution on the inside of you. Long before you even saw yourself or deemed yourself to be insignificant or unqualified or not good enough, God already saw significance in you. He saw greatness on the inside of you. You see, my God, our God, can turn graves into gardens. Once where there was desolation, maybe in your whole family lineage, there's been death after death after death. And I even feel this in my spirit right now. I curse that spirit of diabetes, that spirit of cancer. There's been hereditary cancer in your family, and you've seen family member after family member pass away from cancer. But I hereby tonight prophesy that cancer shrivels up and dies in the name of Jesus. I declare to you that you shall live and not die, and you will declare the works of the Lord. If you believe that and you receive that right now, take 10 good seconds and give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, God's word, as he's given it to us, is inerrant. I want you to write this down. It's inerrant. What does that mean? It's without error. It does not have error. It cannot fail you. I said God's word cannot fail you. Because who is the word? He is the word, and he never fails. God is the word, and he never fails. The second thing is that God's word is infallible. It's infallible. What does that mean? it's always effective. You see, right now for us in South Africa, I don't know, wherever you're watching around the world, but for us in South Africa, there's talks as we are in lockdown level 3. We've chosen as the body of Christ, as the word declares, that I am building my church, says the Lord, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It may be lockdown level 3, but we choose to walk upon the waves that are coming against us by faith. Because how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you need to get excited about the word, because I tell you, when you get God's word on the inside of you, you begin to prophesy life. You begin to prophesy healing. You begin to prophesy prosperity. Someone shout prophesy. You need to begin to prophesy the word of God. See, there's one thing I've realized is this. Niall Taylor Shante, every single one of you in this place, and those of you watching in your homes, there's a very clear distinction between those who give preeminence to the word and have a very light regard for the word. What do I mean by preeminence? It's the first of the first. You choose to give God's word first place in your life. You say, Lord, if your word says it, I believe it. You see, I'll be honest with you. There was a time in my life when I loved the benefits of the cross. Prosperity, shout amen, hallelujah. Doing all this stuff. You know, we got all these antics. Hallelujah, we do all this Christian stuff. And amen will not get you into heaven. A light regard for the word will always result in a defeated life. You see, if you have a light regard for the word, you have a light regard for God. We're too busy kusa gogo. But we're not in the word. You see, when you get into the word, you can kusa gogo all you like. I tell you, a fresh fire comes upon you and you begin to run with the fire of God, and you see your generation radically impacted and changed. Because God, according to his word, says this in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12, that he's watching over his word to confirm it. He's not watching over your opinion. He's not watching over your feelings. In fact, feelings come, feelings go. I have feelings for you. She's the one. If Jesus was the only one for you, I said, if Jesus was the only one for you, you begin to realize that you were created in the image and likeness of God. You don't need to be labeled by this world. You give his word preeminence in your life. And everything changes. You go to the next level. You begin to see things from God's perspective. I was speaking to someone this week, and they were telling me, Jade, you know, I'm going through so much. And as I was listening to this individual, I'll be very frank with you. While this person was speaking, they've been saved longer than what I've been saved. So you'd think that their mind would be in a different place, or their spirit would be in a different place. But they were telling me how defeated they've been. They've just been going, you know, right now, Jade, I feel like I'm in this valley season. And I feel that God has deserted me. And I'm not making light of what they're going through. But this is what I want to tell you. When you're in the Word, when you give God's Word preeminence in your life, it doesn't matter what may be happening all around the world. Even in your own family, the Word of God lifts you above. The last thing the word is this. It is inspired. What does that mean? It is God-breathed. His word is God-breathed. His word, according to Hebrews 4:12, is alive and powerful. Sharper than any double-edged sword. So as we go back to that text in Ezekiel 37, we see the Spirit of the Lord take Ezekiel the prophet and take him to a place of desolation. I don't know what you've come into this place and what position you'll find. You find yourself back at home. Those of you in your homes that watching on this broadcast, I don't know what circumstances you find yourself in. Perhaps it's a circumstance of desolation. Perhaps it's a circumstance of complete dire straits. You don't know what to do. Your back's against the wall. You're all out. You've gone all in and you feel like you're all out. You're out for the count. You're done. Here to tell you today, and I prophesy to you. Philippians 1 verse 6 says this. Being confident. Everybody say that. Being confident. that he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you need to have so much confidence in the integrity, the character, the nature of who God is, that in spite of what may be going all around you, when God poses that question to you and says, can these dry bones live again? Can there be change in your family? Can there be change in your financial situation? Can there be change where you currently are? See, God has empowered you for change. I said God has empowered you for change because his word is God-breathed. You see, this great facility we are in here today, for those of you in this place and those of you that will soon visit us right here in Buffalo City in the Great Faith Dome, a word went forth 20 years ago that was given to Pastor Andre. He could have chosen and said, you know what? It's not for me. Who am I? What good could come from East London? It's just East London. Every time I speak to people that want to leave East London, like, no, I'm leaving East London. I'm gone. Done. It's East London. Emonti. What good could come from East London? Little did we know that there'd be a generation, the next generation that's in this place, that's all around the nations of the world, that are carriers of revival because of the word. Hallelujah. Come on, get excited. Stand up on your feet right now and begin to stand and shout for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a new generation of young people all around and in this place that are alive for Jesus because of the word of God.